In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to look today at John chapter 3 because it is a pivotal, very important scripture for us to understand many, many things. We should understand the scriptures well, so over the time of whatever God gives me, we'll start talking about sort of pivotal scriptures, not just the things that we hear on Sunday mornings, but sort of things that are about our faith, that sort of in a comprehensive way talk about our faith. Now, it begins with, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he knew about Jesus. Jesus had been teaching. He was new to the area, new to the world, and the whole place was abuzz because of the things he was doing and saying, the miracles and the way that he spoke. And he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that has come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." It's a reasonable thing to say to somebody who's become famous because of his deeds and his words and his miracles. Jesus answers him, but it's very important to see how he answers him. And to notice that this is a pattern. Jesus answered what was really on his mind, what really he needed. He didn't actually answer that question, that sort of unstated question. He answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, he didn't understand what that meant. Nicodemus was very confused by that. But we know, since we have hindsight, or we have the teaching of the church, that this is about rebirth, about baptism. And so Nicodemus says to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" There's a reason why his statement of surprise is recorded for us. Because this is an amazing thing that our mind cannot comprehend. It is not just that we can say, okay, yeah, you come into the church by baptism and everything's great. That's easy to understand. You can read that in any textbook, in any catechism book. But what this answer of Nicodemus is showing, a man who was educated, a man who was scripturally literate, a man who was a believer in God, the true God, he was so surprised by his answer, and he did not understand what it meant, because baptism involves the change of the whole man. And even to this day, people do not understand what baptism means. Of course, St. Paul says, "Not circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." To be baptized is to become a new creature, able to be in Christ. St. Paul says that old things are passed away and all things are become new. That's also part of the meaning of our Lord's teaching about wine, new wine into old wineskins, or a new patch of cloth upon an old garment. Your way of thinking, the worldly way of thinking, doesn't fit with baptism. And that's what Nicodemus's answer speaks of. That you must change who you are. You must change the way you look at things. Later on, this was very early in our Lord's ministry. Later on, he was going to say you have to love your enemies. Later on, he says if someone says to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Later on, he said if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. So this is a complete change from the way the world thinks. And I think even those of us who were baptized quite some time ago must recognize that to be baptized is to become completely new and different than the rest of the world. So Jesus is answering Nicodemus, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He's describing baptism. Baptism is of water and of the Spirit. St. Paul says, "And such were some of you. You were washed, but you were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Baptism is washing and regeneration, by water, and then the filling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is these two things. We kind of talk about baptism and chrismation, when actually the entire service is baptism. Baptism is incomplete without chrismation. Chrismation is not possible for a person who's unbaptized. You have to baptize them. So, he goes on to say, our Lord goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. These are kind of difficult words to understand. He's just repeating himself? No. Fleshly actions lead to fleshly results. Spiritual actions proceed and become spiritual results. And when you are born again, you become spirit, which means you should stop doing fleshly things. So there is this moral change that must occur in a man when he is baptized. And that is what the Lord is speaking of. Then he says to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto ye, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What he's saying is that we cannot know the great works of God, how they work in us. We can only know that the Spirit works in us. The Spirit is referred to hereby as the wind. The Spirit has many symbols. Wind, here, and also in Pentecost, when there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit is also fire. The Lord said baptism by the Spirit and by fire. And, St. John said that he baptized only with water unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, meaning the Holy Spirit is fire. Well, fire warms, fire purifies. Of course, water. The Lord quoted, and he said, he that believeth in me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then a parenthetical remark is made by St. John that says, this he spoke of the Spirit. The cloud is a symbol for the Spirit. The cloud led the children of Israel by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the cloud also represents the presence of God. Well, now the presence of God is not in a cloud external to us. The presence of God, the cloud, is within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us now because of the baptism of the Spirit. And of course, there's also the symbol of the dove. And the dove is a very pure bird and a clean bird. And so, of course, the Holy Spirit helps us with being pure. And of course, after the baptism of the Lord, the Holy Spirit appeared, not as a dove. The dove wasn't the Holy Spirit, but the symbol was the dove lighted on our Lord's shoulder, and that was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So Nicodemus says, how can these things be? He's still very, very confused. It's important to understand what the confusion is about. The confusion is about a complete change of life. I would say that most Christians continue to be confused because they don't know what the point of their life is. It's not membership in a church. It is to become changed, to become new, to become perfected, to become according to the stature of Jesus Christ. So Jesus answers in them and says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Just parenthetically, I'll say, he called Nicodemus a master. In another place he says, call no man father. I talked to you already about that, how really kind of silly it is and scripturally illiterate it is to say, oh, Jesus said, call no man father, so we can't call anybody father. Call him reverend or call him brother or something like that. He called Nicodemus a master, meaning a teacher, and we call our bishops master, or vladika is the translation, because they are our masters. Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, baptism is the entry into a relationship with God. It's not some sort of official thing that gets done and therefore you have a legal standing. It is the entry into a relationship. When you experience God, then you know Him. And this is what He's saying. We speak what we know. We testify what we have seen. Christians must experience God in order to know Him. And of course, the key to this is to live spiritually, to live according to the gospel. Our Lord asked Nicodemus, "If I've told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye then believe if I tell you heavenly things?" One of my favorite sayings that maybe you've gotten tired of, but I think it's all very important, is that all dogma is moral. So the dogma of the necessity of baptism involves moral living, spiritual living, living and ascending to purity and holiness. Otherwise, all the baptism does is get you wet. We must live in a spiritual way in order to understand. And then the Lord goes on and says, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." He's bringing in now the incarnation, the descending, and the ascending, the ascension. This reading, this little selection of this conversation with Nicodemus, contains all of these things. Baptism, understanding about the filling of the Holy Spirit in man, understanding that Christianity is the experience of God, about the incarnation, the ascension. Now he will, in a moment, get into the cross, and our purpose, and also how sin makes these things difficult or impossible. So he speaks of ascending into heaven because he came down and descended. He became a little lower than the angels. He took on the form of a servant. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of course, this is a reference to the cross. Remember that when the serpents were biting the children of Israel, God told him to make a brass serpent and put it on top of a pole and hold up the pole, and if the people looked upon the serpent, they were healed. Now, of course, parenthetically, that kind of looks like an icon to me. You know, they venerated something material. And of course, there are those that would say, outside of the church, that would say, "Oh no, that's blasphemy." But the Lord told them to do it, and they did it, and they were healed. So the Lord brings the cross into this speaking of being born again. All these things are related. You can't have any one of them outside of the other. You cannot have salvation without baptism, but you cannot have baptism without the cross. The purpose of our life is to become perfected and be able to ascend, and we must live morally and spiritually for that to happen. It's all connected. And then he says when he speaks about Moses and the serpent, and then he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Probably the most famous verse in all of the Gospels, I think. I remember as a kid seeing it all the time. When people kicked field goals in football, they'd always hold it up in the end zone, either that whole thing or just John 3:16. We have to understand why the Lord came. He came to heal us. He didn't come just to sacrifice himself or allow the Father to sacrifice him. He came to heal. He came because of love. The only way you learn of God is to love. It's present in all of the scriptures. You must love if you are to know God. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ came to heal us, to make us capable of living in such a way that we would have eternal life. He goes on to tell Nicodemus, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. This is why the world does not accept Christ. And this is why Christians, people who are officially Christians, who are baptized, who are part of the church, but possibly are tares, do not make progress in their life. They won't come to the light. Sin naturally wants to stay away from the light, just like the cockroaches want to stay away from the light. You must guard against this. We're baptized for a purpose. So we must let that light come to us so that our deeds are made manifest. Now, that's not very good news sometimes. But if you're sick, you want the doctor to tell you the truth about what's wrong with you rather than some lie. He says you just have a cold when actually you have pneumonia. You should be told you have pneumonia so that you can be treated and be well. In the same way, we should beg the Lord to expose our deeds to the light. We should want our deeds to be exposed. That's the difference between a sinner, an unrepentant sinner, and a repentant one. The repentant sinner wants to have his deeds exposed so that he can be freed of his sins. I hope you can see that this reading contains basically most of the gospel. I mean, there's other things it doesn't mention, such as, you know, the body and blood of Christ, the priesthood, and other such things. But basically, if a person truly understood this and lived according to just these 21 verses, they would find the kingdom of heaven. So may God grant that you would find the kingdom of heaven. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.